It's Sunday morning, July 3rd.
Lord, we ask for your presence here today, your blessing, your truth, your light, your goodness, O Lord. And Lord, that our hearts would be stayed on you. They wouldn't go wander off someplace else. That our hearts would be stayed on you. That you would be the thing that we want, that we rely on, that we really need. Oh, the other stuff, that would just fall off. Cause that stuff to fall off, Lord. And that we would be able to enter into a place of your truth, a place where your word is your truth. Do that good work in us by your Spirit, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
When I was, I don't know, 25 or 30 maybe, we used to sing a song. It's called Love is a Many Splintered Thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know when it was brought about, but anyway, whoever wrote it, it was a good song, but whoever wrote it didn't have even a clue as to what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And in the fourth chapter of Matthew, it was right after the temptation when Jesus was hungry, and the devil tempted him, and he said, if you're the Son of God, he said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus made a statement, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Well, that's good, but how far reaching is this? What is the every word aspect of it? In John 18:37, Pilate asked him, he said, are you a king then? And Jesus says, it's almost like, I'm not sure if he was answering that part of the question or what, but he says, For this cause, I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And he says, everyone that hears my voice, or that hears the truth, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Well, anyway, He doesn't say anything about love in that statement, but we know that love is the basic thing that God is wanting to instill in us. And then the 17th chapter of John, in verse 17, it says, sanctify them. And I only have my concordance to figure out or to understand what the word sanctify means, and it can mean a number of things. But in this case, it says, separate them unto yourself. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And we came to the conclusion some time ago that truth is what God meant by what he said, not the way the church necessarily interprets it. truth is actually what God meant by what he said. And so, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And when Jesus stood before Pilate and he said, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice, Pilate asked him this question, which is what a lot of people would ask. He says, what is truth? And the reason is, I understand that. I'm old enough, I guess, to understand it, but I understand that there are a lot of people with a lot of different things that they consider truth. And there's a scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And I think that has had one of the most indelible impacts on me of anything, any verse that I know of. And it said, because they received not a love for the truth, that they might be saved, God turned them over to reprobate minds. And when we heard that, and when I started to realize what it was saying, it's like it's not only God's truth that we gotta that we have to go for, but it's essential that we do. It's necessary that we see it as God saw it. We see it as God meant it. So a lot of people have what they consider scripture truth, but they're in salvation jeopardy. You know, there's a lot of problems because what they believe is going to get them in trouble. And I've kind of come to the conclusion at my old age that I don't really want to be real dogmatic on anything, because I've had too many places of change in my life, and I've been wrong too many times, and I just as soon not finish my days wrong. I'd like to be right if I could be. And I believe I can be.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't think it hurts any to be hearing the scriptures nonstop. And I'm saying that a little bit, almost sarcastically. Of course it don't hurt. It's an advantage. But what happens is after a while, I begin to realize there's a lot of things that I consider truth that aren't. But there's some things that we have considered truth that are real. And you know what? I want those things. Because it's a difference between eternal life and losing our souls.
Amen.
And the thing is, God has the ability, the power, to cause me to know what truth is. Jesus says, I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. That's quite a statement.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was also born and sent to be a king. But not in opposition to Caesar.
Well, I don't know if this fits, but I was cleaning my room, and okay, just like all of you, I have to clean my room because I have things that I find that I've packed away for years and years. Okay. I found this thing that, you know how when you kind of have a dream thing and you wake up and you want to write it down or something like that? And I don't even know where this was. And I thought, I'm just going to bring it today because I don't know if it would fit. And the first thing he thought about was being Jesus being tempted. So apparently this fits. So I'll tell you what I wrote, and I can't tell you when I wrote it, and it is what it is. So I was looking for the easy way out. The devil tempting Jesus with all of these things, and it could be yours. My heart sparked, and inward I said, yes. Thinking if Jesus had everything, then we would have everything, and happiness would be all around. Then the tempter was of hunger, weakness, easy to prey upon, and the challenging, trying to make Jesus prove he had all the control and strength. Then tempted by things he could have, all the world offered to him, everything. But Jesus knew everything was not the world. His Father was.
That's good. That's good.
I'm just like, I can't believe Keith opened with that. And it was just, and it was something I found as I was cleaning my room.
Are you sure you wrote it?
No. Yeah, this is my handwriting, but you know, I haven't done stuff like that in a long time. When you wake up and then you write something down. And it was just so, I'm like, oh my gosh. I thought, well, I'll bring it, and if it fits, and then boom. So Jesus knew his Father.
The thing about what I was trying to say that is important is that God wants us to have a love for truth.
Mm-hmm.
Not just try to have a intelligent understanding of truth, but we are actually to have a love for the essence of truth. And I think that with myself, you know, I'm sure others are saying, but I'm beginning to feel a love for it. I really want what God said as he said it, his way. Not the way that I have my mind has worked over the years.
Connection with what you brought there, Susan. You know, Jesus was being tempted to make this place heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have it go right. And that is a temptation that is similar to what we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to hurry things up in a way that's not of God. And when we're tested, when we go through trials, it'd be a whole lot nicer if we didn't have to do that. Pablo would be a whole lot nicer if he's not going through the health problems he's got right now. But we're going to have heaven soon enough. Soon enough. It's not now, but it will be soon enough. Anyway, that was good.
True. I've been saying for, I don't know, a few years. It is, you know, what you know. But I don't think it's... Oh, okay, so this is true. So I'm going to write my first truth down. And write my second truth down. And then I got my 100 truths written down, you know. But then a year later, you read them again. I'm like, oh man, number two doesn't seem very good anymore. You know, number three, and then to 100. Doesn't seem as good. No, are they lies? I don't think so, those things. They're not lies. They're just incomplete. They're not complete.
Yeah.
And so truth, to walk in truth, says Jesus, truth is a place where you are, a place that you've learned to be, a place where you hear something that you think you know, you hear the same exact thing you know. All of a sudden, the same words that you wrote down 5 years ago, they mean so much more. They don't mean something different. They just are so, there is so much meteor. I'm talking about meat, not meteor, as in the meat from the moon. Meteor. and that's what it was true. Because, you know what, if we knew all truth, then we're done with the Bible. We will be done. But you know what, I am not done with the Bible, with the Word of God. I am every day, I'm a baby that just learned how to listen to God's Word. And there it is. I'm listening. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I'm saying this today. Now, tomorrow, it's going to be Jesus. I'm going to say something different. Not in disagreement, I'm just different. And I thank God for that. Because, I mean, how big is the New Testament? That's 95% of what I concentrate on. It's like this many, less than half an inch of book. And it's held me for over 20 years, and I want more. And I'm not waiting, I don't need a different story. I just want more of the same that comes out of it. And for example, Kenny pointed me to Psalms 34. And so, anyway.
Oh, I have it open. So
okay,
you
want
it?
Why don't you read it? Psalms 34. Just a little bit.
Yeah, but I was going to read it. So do you want to keep talking? Then I read
it.
No. Okay. And the I don't know what you call it. The thing over it, as you know, when you turn and it's kind of titled, "The Happiness of Those Who Trust in God." Mm-hmm. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me."
Okay, hold on. So, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." So we can't say, you know what? I need something. I'm just going to seek him so he can hear me. But, and I start reading again.
"And he delivered me from all my fears."
No, I'm going to start reading from the beginning.
"I will bless the Lord at all times."
Okay. Wait a second. Wait a second before you start telling me about the Lord hearing me. First, we got to seek the Lord at all times. Bless the Lord at all times. That's huge. And that's part of what we're talking about. Then what?
"His praise shall continually be in my mouth."
His praise will continuously be in my mind. Okay, but what we're doing, we're praying continuously, and we're asking continuously. But what about the praise? Guys, yes, he does say, "You ask, and I will give it to you." But there's several sentences before that. His praise has to be in your mouth at all times. And I'm not going to keep going in detail. You get my point. We can't forget, we can't ignore the meat of what we're talking about, the meat of what we want. We want the, what is the, we want the Lord to, when we call him, he answers or he
says. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad, magnify the Lord, let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, he heard me.
Okay, I sought the Lord, he heard me. That's what we all are all about. That's what we all talk about. And this sermon, even, I bet you anything being preached today, oh, seek the Lord and he'll hear you. Seek the Lord and he will hear you. Wait a second. Wait. Before he can hear you, you better exalt him all the time. And all those things that are there in Psalms. And this is not just Psalms. You know what? This is the whole Bible. The whole Bible says the same thing. Okay? In Acts, when at the beginning, you know, chapter 3, 4, 5, something like that, it says, you know, Lord Jesus, we crucified you. And he's talking, Peter talking about John. It's like he's blaming himself for all the bad things. He's like, we crucified you, we did all these bad things, and we repent, we want to come clean. And after all that, after all that, then and we pray that you heal this person or whatever. But there's more work. There's a lot more work. There's a lot more that comes with the asking of what you want of the Lord than just the asking. His praises have to be in your mouth constantly. You know, not his, what do you need? You know.
So I want to finish reading this then. Because I had it open. I thought, well, I'll wait till it's appropriate. So, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. I was talking about this with Pablo this morning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Does that mean walk around and it just drops in you? When you taste, it's an action. You have to take something and taste it. You know what I mean? We don't just stand around with our mouths open waiting for, you know, that yummy fish fry to fall into our face. I mean, we grab something to taste it. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. There's no want. Not a little bit of want, not a maybe, there's no want. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. That means the righteous are going to have a cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out. That means we're going to have things to cry out about. And the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That sounds not so fun. Mm-hmm. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And I will just tell you that as Pablo was speaking this morning, he still has all that faith in him. He still, his arm is heavier today than it was yesterday. Those muscles are tight. His leg is heavy when he walks. His arm is very tight. This morning he did the exercise in the kitchen just to stand and move muscles. He can walk, but all the different connection from his brain, his arm is very, very heavy. And I keep praying the scripture, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you pray it over and over and over and over and over and over. But that pain is there. But when he speaks Bible, you wouldn't know. Nobody would know that he's suffering
severe trigeminal pain syndrome in his face. But when he speaks Bible, it goes, it hides. So he's speaking all of this, but he's in dire pain over there. But the Lord delivers us. And I suppose when we boast and we pray and we cry out, he's near to those that seek him. And it's a promise for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every single one of us have our hardships and our affirmities and our cryouts and our burdens. And, you know, I told Pablo, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You can't sing and praise and worship and sing and praise and pray in tongues and sing and praise and feel heaviness. You know what I mean? You get it, you go through it. But heaviness is many things. Heaviness is fear. Heaviness is despair. Heaviness is heavy. Heaviness is in the heart. Heaviness is everything in every different way. And everybody is suffering a heaviness in some way.
Lord.
So we put on the helmet of salvation and the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness, however it is afflicting you.
Mm. Sometime, I don't know if it was this morning or sometime earlier, I caught the first part of Romans 10, and it, a little bell or something went off. Let me read it. I'll start with verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to righteousness. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And it, I think what this is implying, we put too much focus on our own righteousness. We are not going to submit ourselves unto the righteousness of God. It's our own righteousness is just gonna get in the way. We're not gonna be able to receive God's righteousness when we make our own righteousness the thing. You know. Now, Paul also said, should we sin so that grace will that much more abound? God forbid. I know my own experiences. I don't have to intentionally sin to have sin abound. Sin abounding kind of takes care of itself. You know. But, you know, it's good news, bad news. The good news is you're in a better place to have submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God. And hey, that's what I want. I think you do too.
At one point a few weeks ago, I had brought up that I felt like church sometimes is more like formula, and the like relationship with God is like breast milk, you know, like made for us and what we need and all of that. And it makes me always think of Hebrews 5, talking about Jesus, and it kind of goes with this. And when my dad said strong meats, it reminds me of where he talks about you become need of milk instead of strong meats if you're not discerning. And going through and reading Hebrews 5 goes so well with what everyone's saying. We're starting in 2, well, first part here. It says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself was also subject to weakness. Because of this, he's required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And he also says in another place, "You are a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, and hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need first someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become need of milk and not strong food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And in that, we all suffer to discern good and evil. We're called for that and perfected through it, obeying, continuing to suffer, and still seeking and desiring the words of God are no longer just live well, love everybody, Jesus loves you, peace be with you, like I forgive you. It's actually like eating a steak that's giving you that desire and that, okay, I'm suffering like Christ. It's a whole different meaning. And finding glory in that suffering to be made perfected, because pain and weakness, I just told them the other day, or pain in your body is just weakness leaving your body. Suffering and that stuff, you're learning how to handle that with God. And that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
There's this lady that she says she can help me a little bit, somewhat or a lot, with my pain here, with my different things from the stroke. I'm for sure one of the, she's trying to work on the openings. When she doesn't have openings, she's, so one of the openings, her first opening, she said, you know what, I can help you someday. Between 11 and 12, 11 and 12:30. Wow, that's my church time. Jenny's like, man, that's tough stuff because, what do you do now? You know, you've got church. But, in a way, it was no brainer for me. You know what I mean? I'm not going to church, for sure. For sure. And I guess she's available later or something. I don't know.
She's gonna. Her family's leaving to Minnesota, but she'll meet us at her office. She does red light therapy.
So anyway, so. you guys mean a lot to me. And I need to say, very important. the last couple of weeks, I don't know if the word exalted is better than I'm supposed to exalt. I have exalted Corky in a lot of it, but I'm not trying to. You guys that pray for me are so very important. Ken.
Well, yeah, we left Ken out last week, and then we went back home and felt bad that we did go to Ken a few times for prayer, and Ken came to the house, and praising Corky.
But this is, I guess it's the Corky hour.
Hey, it's available.
Well, it's just he's next door, and
But seriousness, it's been very, it's been good for me, and I believe it's been good for him. And I didn't get a chance to testify to this, but I got this feeling, and especially since my stroke, especially since I got a pill. The pill should be called Go Feel Night.
It's a diuretic to help with the.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So
I think that's what it's called.
I don't know what it's called. It's just too. But it's Go Feel Night. Pill. But you know what? I told you, sometimes God needs us to pray 100 times, or whatever many times. You just have to pray 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Until God heard it. Somebody heard me, the Corky. And Corky, he met, you know what, I don't think I even asked him. He just prayed and he said whatever he said about my getting up at night. And the very night, mm-hmm. I slept, I got up once. To me, getting up once is like, not getting up. He got up once at night. But I was so tired, and I don't even know if I peed in the place. And I probably peed, went back to bed, slept, second night, same deal. And I don't know, two nights.
There was three specific nights in the last week and a half that Corky prayed, in the evening when we were outside, specific prayer that you would sleep and not pee all night. And those were the three of the nine nights that you slept, 4 or 5 hours straight without having to pee. Because once you start to pee, it's every 45 minutes. Yeah.
And
it was just literally the... What? Corky
found a new ministry.
Yeah. It was literally the three nights. And they weren't in a row. One was last night. One was earlier this week. And then whatever. And
let me throw this in real quick.
Yeah.
We are the body of Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if your left hand picks up something, instead of your right, you get mad at it because your right hand didn't do it?
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'm just saying, I've been doing this one-on-one with Corky, but I love you guys. I mean, I dearly love you. I love you. Love is really the right word. It's another word. But I love you guys so much. And I need you guys, and I need your prayers, and I need when you guys pray, it's another word. But it's not that I miss you when I'm just with Corky, but
you know what it is?
What?
It's testing Corky's pride factor.
Actually, God, I think he was walking out like a pope.
Well, he could be in those t-shirts he wears, size 9X, walking around these big gown-like shirts. Maybe that's why.
Maybe. I think a lot of times, people ask me to put things on the prayer chain, or people will go ahead. I mean, you can always put, if anybody's got something they want prayer for, put it on. And we don't always see a response. And that does not mean people go, oh, well, I hope somebody prays for them. It just means that, people are praying and they don't say, oh, I'm going to pray for you or whatever. And sometimes they do. I mean, and both are good ways. But just remember, people are praying for you. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, people, you can be sitting around and you're going, you know, I feel like to pray for Pablo.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think Candy needs to pray. Or, you know, I mean, or you know, Charlie, I can go all around the room. But it's, you don't always talk about it. But people are praying. We are united. And, you know, I just spend a lot of time praying for your family. You know, I mean, just, I'm saying, it's all of a sudden, things just get, and it's not like, we have a pea ministry. You know?
And maybe that's what God's calling.
Maybe. And, you know, hey, he'd be up for it. You know, I mean.
We're going to put a bench next to the side of our bed by Bob. So every time Bob starts to wake up, Corky's going to say, and maybe Jesus will go back to sleep.
yeah, I mean, and Corky likes to pray. You know, I mean, he just does. And I'm just saying, we all like to pray, though. I mean, just, you know, that's the bottom line. And I think praying is, I never used to pray when I first came because, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. I was new. I was a, you know, babe. You know, I mean, first of all, I thought all of you were really rude to pray why someone's praying. You know, I'm like, well, if they'd be quiet, we could hear them pray, but everybody, you know, was praying. And I'm going, you know, so the whole concept of prayer is something that kind of grows within you. And it is, I find it, even now, I find it strange. Like, why am I thinking of Charlotte? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, not that you're weird, but me going, why am I thinking, you know, and it's just because we're being submissive to God. And he's saying, pray. And you're going, okay. Mm-hmm. So just remember, you know, even if, you know, we don't get called or asked or something, you know, just like Pablo, I'm sure you pray for many people. I mean, look at you praying for people in nursing homes.
The Bible says, pray for one another.
Yeah.
That you may be healed.
Yeah.
And that's, that,
yeah.
I find that the greatest thing is when you're thinking of.
So think of it almost as fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When my anxiety gets high, I actually start praying for all of you guys.
Yeah.
For some reason, it calms me down.
Correct.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I should pray about myself, because my anxiety's through the roof again. So. Mm-hmm. But I remember the circle, and I'm like, okay, there's Charlie, there's Susan, there's Corky, there's Ken, there's Bonnie, there, you know, and I just go through and I pray for every each one of you individually, and then I'm like, oh yeah, there's us too. But I mean, I just, it gets my mind off my anxiety, it gets me focused again on what just life is, and I've caught myself doing that since I've been coming. Just
Lord.
Yeah,
it helps.
Yeah,
so much.
I'll go around the room too, you know, in my mind, but it's, and that's what's so. It's so wonderful, and it doesn't. You don't have to pray for somebody for. I got to spend an hour on this person.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds, you know.
Yep.
I love everywhere where it says in the Bible. I thank my God every time I think about every remembrance of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I, that fact is so cool when we look at that. God is love, and He wants that from us. And there's so many times my kids are playing, and they're all just snickering and doing something, or playing with interacting with other kids, and it's all just.
Mm-hmm. Meh.
Like, could you guys just get along? Like, I'll give all of you ice cream. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking. Like, I love you all, and I want this great time. Let's have a great time. Be nice to each other. You all are different. Just be nice. Who cares? How much God is saying that and watching right now, even from, I mean, I went from being the best behaved child at this church. no, I went from being me and the child, right, to growing up and watching all of you guys now and everything change, and obviously I've watched over years, and it's so cool to see what seems to have been a beautiful quilt that God was intending on making with every one of our patches sitting in a pile, you know, and those are all beautiful patches, but right now I feel like God is just knitting back together even the body of Christ. Where we are saying, okay, not here's, look at my quilt. But my quilt square is really nice over here. But bringing together this knitting of he needs you. He needs you. I need you. I need, you know what I mean? That whole bringing together with love and watching him knit us together, that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe all of the things and all of the the waves of stuff that the church has gone through and every person within their own beliefs and all that stuff. It says that God used those things to hold them for the right time. And now the Spirit is just moving and interacting and bringing this body together for flowing of Him or whatever He's doing. And that is glorious instead of us shoving those pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, you know, when you think about making a quilt, you always have a theme. You know, everybody has to have a theme. But I don't think we have a theme. Because each person is individual, but yet the quilt will be beautifully put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right? And so that's why it's kind of
that. Because it's all the pieces matched.
Yeah.
Everybody else looks at that. I'm like,
that's going to be really pretty.
Right. Well, and it's really cool to fully feel like I need every one of you. And I know that every one of you loves me and has my best intentions at heart. So therefore, I could come and say, I'm peeing all night long, or I'm anxious, or this or that. And there's not judgment in a bad way, just in a loving, righteous, how can I help you way.
Yeah.
And that is not the same position that it's always been, but that is so freeing and awesome.
You start feeling a trust of not being condemned or judged.
Right. And then every time I think of every one of you, I'm like, wow, thank you that this person is in my life. Glory. And that is what He wants. That's what He wants. Not, oof, I hope that they don't like me, or I hope they like my shoes, and I hope they this, and I hope they, you know, all of those worldly things. Something I treasure about our church, because I've been around other people, I've prayed with people, I've heard other people pray, and I haven't been to a million different churches, but I know a lot of people that I've been with them and heard them pray. Something that I like about our church, even from the very beginning, but especially now, the humbleness, whatever, is, I was telling Pablo last night about Corky, the way that Corky prays, and it's like Curtis too, but we all do, is, you know, I've been around people that are like, Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you to bring this sister with her needs of the, you know what I mean? Like, there's this learned prayer, you know? And then how I pray, which I appreciate, you know, when I was listening to Corky, it's like, Lord, be with Paul while he's peeing all night, and then help him not pee all night, you know? Or, you know, just a simplicity of like a kid asking his father. It wasn't like, Heavenly Father, Pablo is urinating to the, you know, I mean, it was just Corky's praise. You know, my dad used to tell me sometimes when Corky was doing tuck-in, he was like, I just like Corky's prayers. They're just kind of like a kid asking their dad. It's not a, Heavenly God, I, you know, just the simplicity of, this is what I have need of, or sometimes like Susan says, the prayer of, help. You know, but just the words that Corky has said have really impacted me of what his mind is going through, apparently, to pray that prayer.
We're going to have to put you, Corky, in lockdown for 2 3 weeks. You don't get a big
head. This afternoon we'll have the roast of Corky.
Some
balance. Right. If I bring a one-liner.
No, and we would be saying the same thing. If Charlie lived across the street and Ken was, you know, it's just that Susan has been at her house, home, able to see what the neighbors are doing more than I ever have in my life. However, and I wish I had a bigger bang window so that now when I'm sitting around with Bobble, I could see what the neighbors are doing. I have to go to my window, whatever. And so Susan has always been aware when I was home or my mom, whatever. But I told Bobble, now when he's like, maybe this face, this pain, whatever, I'll pray with him. And then I kind of wander over to the window and like, do I see any activity up the neighbors? Am I going to need to be going over there soon? But if I could see Ken or Charlie or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't uplift the men because the women's prayers are just as important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Just, you guys' prayers are just as important. So, Bonnie, if we show up in your driveway, we'll be in the golf cart. But if Pablo could pray or somebody could come over and talk Bible all day long, I told him, I said, he's getting antsy because we're not doing anything, but we don't have anywhere to go. I don't have any desire. What do I do? We don't go to restaurants. His diet, of what he wants to eat is so minimal at this point. And so we don't have, we need to come up with something to make money. We are going to sell his truck. But in it, we got to keep busy. So he's putting beads together. Like Lego beads, like Snap Pop beads, because the therapist said anything like Legos or anything like that helps with the brain. Yeah, so I've got these pop beads together.
The combination of we've got to do something to make money.
Oh, right? Yeah, no.
Putting beads together.
No, sorry.
Threw me for a second.
He's starting a necklace.
No. No, but it's just different things. I'm going to have him insert some cards. And just, he's got to work on the thing, whatever, because the muscles are kind of wanting to go to sleep. And so,
one of the favorite things for me, and I know for Jean Schaefer too, is coloring. We love it. I mean, if you're anxious or something, just sit down and start. Get a coloring book. Start coloring.
Well, and yes, but it's not
I know.
So much.
Yeah.
Are you sleeping?
No.
Oh.
We put them out.
I thought you were falling over. But it's the, as you work the fingers, it works all those muscles
right here.
So the beads and the Legos and the sponges and anything that works, the whatever. So anyways, but I told him, I said, you know what? I think it's time that he just posts on Facebook and says, if you have an hour and you want to talk Bible, come see me. I'll be on the deck, sitting in my living room or sitting in my front yard and ignore all the laundry that needs to be folded and the spider webs that are forming because my wife is constantly taking care of me.
Well, you can fold laundry with those fingers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it's or talk Bible or pray. Because when he has face pain, I'm telling you, if he starts to pray for somebody or whatever, it snaps out of him. And I'm like, a second ago, you're like, I can't handle it anymore. You know?
I think a lot of times people, when someone is ill, recovering or whatever, people don't exactly know what to do. You know, should I drop in on them? No. Should I? I mean, it's like you have to make things be known that it's okay.
Well, and I don't know. Maybe we have a PT appointment at 1 o'clock. So, you know, but I just told him, you're probably going to have to use your phone and say, today, who needs prayer? Because when he prays for others, his thing disappears. And he wants to be busy for the Lord. And you know what? It's not going to pay our bills. However, God is going to bless him. However, he's going to bless him. And God's going to take care of it. And he's not concerned. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that should concern me or not. Because in a few months, we have taxes due this month like everybody else. And in a few months, but right now, the Lord is... I don't know. I can't say he's sustaining us, but nobody is starving. And
he'll continue to sustain you as long as you believe in him and trust him, and no matter what. Dad and I had this conversation the other day because he had asked me prior to the moving what I was going to do and with DJing and whatever, and I have been offered to DJ a few different times, and there's different things in what I want to facilitate in the world. And God is going to continue to provide. Just like the fish and the 5,000, it does not look like you're going to be able to do it, and it doesn't look like you're going to have enough, but you're going to have enough and an overflow, because that's what God says. And if you trust that by your faith, it will be unto you. So hold on to his faith in that, and let go of what the world looks like. And in reality, if you owe $1 million to somebody, the rest could happen before you even have to pay it. So he's going to take care of it one way or another every single time.
I mean, from the minute of the stroke, I had to take over everything. All of a sudden, I'm like, who are all these customers? And we have all this stuff, and we've got, you know, buckets of crap in our garage that he ordered for the next job, and what do I do with it? And so I just had to take over. But just taking care of him and watching him minister to other people, I just have to trust. Like, he trusts the Lord. He was very concerned with how we paid our bills for 24 years. Now suddenly, not as much, he's not. But now I've taken that on, and then I have to just give it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And amen. I mean, if anything, today's service should show that God hears our prayers. The power of prayer is amazing. The power of prayer can do everything. And if we as a body of Christ pray for one another, he will meet those needs.
Mm-hmm. Today is sufficient for himself. The sparrow doesn't worry about tomorrow. Everything is perfectly the way he wants it to be. And really the only thing we can do by trying to control or make a plan or do anything is fight what he's got for us.
That's why I always tell him when we, in his each room that he stayed in, there was always birds around. And I would look out and he'd be sitting there or whatever, and I'd look out and say, what do you see? And I'm like, there's a bird. And it's like digging in the ground, or it was digging in the roof, or it was whatever, and it had crap in its mouth. And I thought, that bird didn't even get up this morning and worry. You know, I mean, he was still laying in the dog or laying in the hospital at that point. And I thought, I couldn't even worry about our finances or our whatever. I just, will he walk again? You know what I mean? Was my worry there. But I would just distract myself and watch these birds. Wherever room he had, I could see birds outside the window. Just
not
doing their thing.
Too much.
What?
Not being too much.
Not being too much. So it's like, those birds don't worry. So why do I can't worry.
You know, I mean, and this is my, there's things that have to be get done, you know, bills, whatever. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. At the same time, I don't know what God is going to do. I don't know what God is going to do. But that is a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Because I don't know what God is going to do. I don't care what God is going to do. Because it's still God doing it. It's still God, the greatest, the Father of them all. The Father of fathers. You know what I mean? I have no idea what God is going to do. But and that's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. To not know what God is going to do. Now, if you don't know God, I feel so bad. I will feel so bad for you. I'm not telling you, but man, if you don't know God, man, you don't know what's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How these guys are alive. How these guys start killing themselves by the thousands daily. You know, but I don't know what God's going to do. I mean, God can do whatever he wants. That's his brother.
All in faith. Yes?
People are killing themselves daily by alcohol, drugs, working to death, by falsely thinking that they're going to get to somewhere here and not trusting that he is in control. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because the world, it looks like you need to do something or have a plan or do a thing or do this or do that or figure it out or work it out or I got to do this. And when that is completely washed away, like, what are you doing? All right, like this is what we're doing. Instead of fighting the waves, you're just floating in whatever it is. And if you know that your destination is a good point and that all things are going to work out for his glory, even the scary waves just become kind of fun. That's glorious and peaceful and terrifying. And you have to like constantly shut those voices in your own head that are like, no, but I need to. No, but this. But I need to control this part. Or you have all of it except this part. And he's got it all.
That's the funny thing is that I know that I should be humanly more worried about August. I'm not so worried about July. But I know I should be worried about August and September and October. And I know I should be worried. But I'm so busy taking care of what God is asking me to take care of that I don't. I'll stop for a second and be like, oh my God, I should be. And then I can't. I get so not distracted, but with praying, if nothing else. I have prayed more in the last 9 weeks than ever in my life. And sometimes that's all I can do is all I can do. Sometimes that's what's required is to just sit and pray. Pray in tens for 45 minutes straight. Don't worry about the buckets that are collecting in my bedroom and the spider webs that are forming in the basement. I just have to pray. I pray, and then my mind will think, oh, but I should be worried about it. Then I'm like, 2 seconds later, And so it is a good place to be, but it's funny because there's that little thing that's like, but you should be.
But that thing's a demon.
I know.
That's a demon, and that's not, you shouldn't be worried. I rebuke that completely. You don't need to be worried. You need to come against the thing that's telling you to be worried and let your faith take control and grow the seed. Because no, humanly, you don't need to be worried. We need to let go of the human and be born again, living in the spirit, knowing that he's in control. And this flesh is going to suck. It's going to hurt. We're going to go through things.
Right. Right. Right.
And when did you ever think little Brittany would ever say that?
God knew. God knew.
That's a walking testimony.
It is definitely freeing to not be afraid. It is equally terrifying because all of the things then, those voices in my own head, like to just try to make it so much worse. So much worse. So much here or there.
In the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. And one of the mysteries about being mature is growing backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting so that we can trust God like a little child. And that is hard because, you know, you got all kinds of years to tell you that you can't do that, and still God says do it. Mm-hmm. You have to do what he says.
Saw a young lady with Down syndrome and at the store the other day. And there was something just very affecting about the trust that she had reaching up and taking the hand of whoever was her caregivers. Just total trust there, total trust. And, boy, it was a pretty good example that she didn't have a thing to worry about. All she had to do was take that hand of the one who did know. It was good and it was sweet.
Because her mind wasn't taking over. Our mind plays a big, you know, our brain really plays tricks on us.
The devil.
Right, the devil.
Now, when you trust,
yeah.
When you fully trust, I'm not in a tough place, and I need to be. But when you fully trust, let's say God, whatever, you don't even think. Well, and because I trust God, I think that is of the past. You are so much in trust that you don't think about who you're trusting. If you are in full trust of who you're trusting, unless you become a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That's huge. And a little child, they trust their parents, and they don't even know it. They don't know it. Do you trust your dad? Trust, what is that? What is trust? You trust your parents so much that you can think that you trust them. You just trust them. And that is what God wants. He wants you to be in a place of so much trust in him that you don't think about, oh, yes, because I trust in God. No, I think that when you really trust in God with all your heart, the word trust kind of is in the way back. You just trust him so much that you don't even... You do it because that's what it is, I mean, period. Oh, because you trust God. Oh, yeah, but, you know,
it's a thing when you, you know, to trust.
Love you all.